just a minute. I want to introduce our guest speaker for the morning. Many of you probably knew, I'm judging by the smaller crowd here today, that a few of you got an email that most of our staff, unfortunately, contracted the COVID-19 virus. So Pastor Danny, our senior pastor, and Pastor Matt, our associate pastor, are at home today in quarantine. I'm recovering from that, but we have the privilege of having our director of missions for the Washington Osage Baptist Association, Dr. Monty Hill, with us today to deliver God's word. I am excited to hear you preach today, Dr. Hill, because we have never met each other before today. So I'm excited to hear you open God's word and share with us today. So if you would, give a BSBC welcome to Dr. Monty Hill, our director of missions here in Bartlesville.
Well, yeah, good morning. We did meet for about 5 seconds. You don't remember, but anyway, I was so impressive upon you. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Well, good morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house, huh? Wow, it's starting to melt out there. That's the good part. You know, I don't know about you guys. I'm sick of it. You know, I'm not a winter kind of guy. And that's why I live in the South. And when it came in, I thought, oh my goodness, I forgot how this is awful. And, you know, 15 below and all that stuff. But hey, we're recovering, right? And also about the time I thought COVID was starting to kind of wind down a little bit, then the whole staff here gets it. I don't get that. But anyway, they're recovering and they're going to be fine. Somebody asked me, how are you doing with it? And I said, I've had both my shots, so I'm good. Well, I think I'm good, except for that toe, that extra toe I'm growing on my left, top of my left foot. That's not true. I'm kidding. It's on my right foot. But anyway, good to see you. I want to say something to you as a church and just to say to you, thank you very much for being a part of our association. Your church is the top giver to our association. We thank you for that very much. That money goes, of course, and stays here in our three-county area. But also it goes around the world, and there's a lot of good things that go around with that. And we praise the Lord for that, and thank you very much for that. Also, you're very active in the community. I went by the other day to the gathering and saw Brother Paul and Janice, and they were helping some folks out over there. You still got people over there, Paul? All right. Well, you did a great job. They had a warming center and brought in some good food and that kind of thing. And there was, how many did you have? 10, 5, what? Okay, good. So if you fall asleep during the sermon, I understand. That's fine. So anyway, thank you for that. You're involved in that kind of thing. And, of course, your many partnerships that you have. And I want to tell you that I just love your pastor. He's a great guy, doing the best he can here at Bartlesville Southern. this has been a great church over the years, and I know the Lord has great things. I if you don't know, 20 years ago, I was the pastor at Eastern Heights, so you were our competition back then. And everybody said, well, what's Southern doing? I said, I don't care what Southern's doing. We're going to beat them, you know, no matter what. I'm kidding. But Brother Paul was with you for so many years, and we love him and knew Sam back in those days. And we praise the Lord for him. And, of course, Greg and I are good friends. He's back in South Africa now. And now with Brother Danny. And I want to tell you, God has got great things ahead for you. There's going to be some wonderful things happen here in the days to come. And I believe that God is going to do that once we can get over all this stuff, you know, and get back on it. I feel like we're kind of getting there. Do you see the light at the end of the tunnel? I'm always the kind of person that says there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, some people who are realists say, yeah, that's a train coming, but I'm more optimistic than that. But anyway, it is good to be with you. And if you have your Bible today, would you please turn to Acts chapter 2? I want to talk today a little bit with you about what's going on in our world and how the church is reacting. I've been having several meetings with our pastors and trying to get changing the scoreboard because, in case you don't know, the church has changed a lot in the last year, with the advent of COVID and the things that are going on. Really what's happened is the Lord put us in a position here, and by the way, this was not a surprise. He knew that it was going to happen, but he's put us in a position here to where The church is now in a year where it was probably going to be in 5 years anyway in North America. It just sped it up. The statistics are showing that 60% of millennials who have left the church will not be coming back. Of that group, the Gen Xers are also about 40%. Baby boomers are probably going to come back a little more, and then the silence, even though they've been bunkered down, they're going to come back pretty well. But see, we're not going to get a lot of folks back. We think it's going to, once it's all over, it's all going to be back the way it was. Well, I got news for you. It isn't. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to just sit around and say, oh, woe is us? And we're just going to say, oh, well, that's just terrible. But I want to share a passage of scripture with you today that has to do with probably one of my favorite passages of scripture, because it has to do with what happened right after Pentecost. And right after Pentecost, when it was so fresh, when the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples as they were gathered in that upper room and they were able to speak. Thank you, brother. Able to speak among. See, this is a brother who knows how to do things. He knows how to minister to people. I appreciate that. All right. Is that, what is that?
Mostly water.
Oh, mostly water. Oh, good. If I drink some of that, we may not get out of here today. All right. But anyway. So what was I talking about? Oh, they were together and, in that upper room, and then Pentecost happened and it turned a fisherman into a preacher. Remember that? And the preacher got up and preached, and it says that day that 3,000 people came to know the Lord in one setting. Is that amazing or what? Well, there was 100,000 people or so in Jerusalem at the time. Well, that's pretty good odds, I think. 3,000 people coming to know the Lord. And it started a movement like nothing had ever happened. Dear friends, I want you to know today, we don't need another program. We need a movement of God upon our land. Now, we've gone through all this political upheaval. We've seen all this stuff happen, and I'm not here to say a political word to you. But I do want you to know today that we are in a position, and your church is in a position to do some great things for God, but we've got to understand it's not going to come from a pastor or a staff member or lighting or a certain kind of music or anything like that. It's going to come from a movement of God upon our lives, much like Pentecost was. Now, I'm not saying we need to redo Pentecost. That was a one-time event. But what I am saying to you is we need a movement of God just like that upon our land. I'm okay with it starting with right here in your church. That'd be fine. That'd be great. It starts in our association and goes everywhere else. That's a great thing. But we need a movement of God. How's that going to happen? What's the result? How are we going to know that it happens? Well, I want to share with you today some things that you can know that God is in control and that we are experiencing that kind of thing. So we're going to read verse 42, chapter 2, Acts. And I'm going to drill down on verse 46 and 47 today, as we look at some things that will help us to know when this is going to happen. Verse 42, and this is from the New International Version. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If you want to know how God, when God is in control and we're really experiencing the movement of God, read that scripture again. Let me share some things with you from verse 46 and 47. That hath to do with where we are as a church right now in 2021 here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, okay? And all over the world. You know that we have an enemy, okay? You can name him. His name is Satan or the devil or whatever you want to name him. And there is a real place where he dwells in hell. He's also on this earth. Now, he can't be everywhere at all times. He's not that kind of a spiritual being, but he does have demonic influences, demons that are out into the world. Don't get all nervous. I'm not going to talk about all that stuff, but they are out there, okay, and they are doing the work of disrupting the church. Peter said it this way: Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for that one who's out there on the periphery that he can get that one sheep. He doesn't dive right into the sheepfold. He just waits for the one who's out here just wandering around. See, my fear for this situation that we're in now is these who have scattered away from the church and are not coming back have literally said to themselves, we're going to not be a part of the flock or of the Lord Jesus. We're going to put ourselves over here and we're going to substitute things that we had in the church. We are going to now substitute those things. Now hear me say this, they're good things. They're not going off and some of them might be, but they're not going off and doing some crazy things. They're substituting it for different things. They're spending their weekends at the softball game or at the soccer match, or they're spending their weekends just being lazy and being kind of just doing whatever they want to do. And please hear me. I'm not saying that you got to go to church to be a Christian. Okay. Somebody said to me one time, he said, you know, preacher, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I said, no, you don't. You also don't have to have a parachute to jump out of an airplane, but it tends to help. we're in a situation where we understand that we as the people of God need to gather with the people of God. If you look at verse 46 there, you'll see there that they were together in one place. First and foremost, they were together in one place. They were attending the temple together, so they were together. Literally, the translation there is, they were together, together. Think about that for a moment. It's not that they were just showing up. You know, us Baptists, we're famous for having meetings, aren't we? I mean, we'll have more meetings than anything we'd ever have. And we don't have a bulletin today, but if you looked at your bulletin, you'll find out you had all kinds of meetings. We always have every Sunday, we have the worship service, we have the ministry of the announcements, because everybody's got to know about the meetings. We got meetings. I think it's Will Rogers who said, politicians build roads and Baptists wear them out going to meetings. We go to more meetings than we'd ever have. So we're together a lot. And the Bible says here that every day they were together. Going to a meeting every day? Wow. Well, it's just got to be almost to the point where we're like that. Now, I'm not talking about meetings. I'm talking about being together, together. Every one of us have sat in a congregation or in a large group and felt that we were by ourselves. And I'll never forget the time I sat in a church of about 2,500 people and sat in that building feeling alone. You felt that way. You know what I'm talking about. And that's exactly what he's addressing here. You see, Satan wants you to feel alone. He wants you to feel lonely. He's used this pandemic and these shutdown times and all the things that we've had to put you in a place where you're by yourself. Loneliness is one of the number one killers of senior adults today. Because they'll be in one of these nursing homes or one of these other places where they're by themselves and alone. Or maybe they're in their home by themselves. It will kill you. You see, that's what the devil wants. He doesn't want you to be together. He wants you to come and show up at a church Sunday after Sunday and just be there and just sit in a pew and sit there and listen to some guy rave through the Bible and sing these songs that you don't really know, or maybe you do, maybe you're just tired, and you're just sitting there and you can just sit there and go through the motions and leave, go out into the parking lot, get in your car, go home or go to the restaurant, sit there by yourself and have dinner or lunch or whatever you call it, and then you go home, you just go through the motions. Folks, I'm tired of Christians, followers of Christ, Baptists, who have come to the point where they're just going through the motions. You see, these people were together. You know, The one thing that he wants to do the most about all that is to get you to get yourself an opinion and then get against other people in the church that have a differing opinion and ostracize yourself saying, well, because they don't have my opinion, they're of the devil. I've had so many preachers tell me that. They'll come to me and say, well, you know, I've got these people, they're opposing me. I want to paint the bathrooms blue and they want to paint them green. And you know, I had a guy that got in trouble one time and they got in an argument over who's going to mow the cemetery. You know, is this group going to mow the cemetery? Back in South Carolina, they have, every church has a cemetery. It's not like here, we got a cemetery over there. It's up for everybody. Well, they've got a cemetery. That causes all kinds of problems I won't go into. But this group, this guy got in trouble because they started arguing, we want brother so-and-so to mow the cemetery. No, we want sister so-and-so to mow the cemetery. And they started fighting each other over who's going to mow the cemetery. And I said to him, who cares? He said, well, they do. They care. They care a lot. He got on the wrong side. And as a result of it, they fired him. Over who's going to mow the cemetery? Listen, those people in the cemetery don't care who mow the cemetery. They don't. That's just one example of how we're not together. You can sit in this building Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and just be so upset and mad over some of the least things that you'd ever thought about in the world. It is time for you, if you're got something there and you're not together with this church, it is time for you not to move to another church. When I was here before, as a pastor, I thought, I went to a meeting, an associational meeting, and I thought, this people in this church know these people in this church, and they're all talking like they know each other. Then I figured out that it's because they'd been in their church with them, and they'd hopped from one church to another, and they just all knew each other. It's not time to go to another church. Now, there may be times when you need to do that, like when your pastor's not preaching the Word of God. That's a good reason to go find another church. But if you've got an opinion, and somebody else got a differing opinion, you don't need to go to another church. You need to get it out in the open and talk about it. Let's talk about it. You see, we've come into a world where we can't even talk to one another anymore. Politically, you start a conversation, see what happens when you talk about certain things. Who you're for and who you're against. Did the election get stolen or did it not get stolen? I mean, we've all got these. I don't want to start. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have even said that. Now you're not going to listen to me the rest of the time. We get into these and then we don't want to talk to each other about it. Should not be in the church. God has brought us to a place right now in this church and in every other church where we can get it out and talk about it and then invest yourself. Invest yourself in the whole idea of being together. You may not agree that they painted the bathrooms green when you wanted them yellow. See, those things don't matter. What matters is, are we reaching people for Christ? Are we serving them? Are we going to the one who's out on the street who is cold and has nothing to eat? Are we going to that brother and sister or that person out there that's elderly and we're shoveling off their sidewalk? Are we doing the things that we do to take care of one another? Are we together, or are we just together? Well, they were together, meeting on a daily basis for the specific reason of loving one another and being the flock of God so that Satan wouldn't pick them off. You may say, well, why am I so tempted? You may say, well, it's because it could be that you've wandered off from the flock. Second, it says in verse 46 and 47 that they were together in one fellowship. They were together in one place, and then they were together in one fellowship. The word fellowship here is the Greek word koinonia. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar by any means. We had a class in seminary that was called Greek Appreciation, which was like a 20,000-foot view of Greek, and that's the one I took. Okay, so I don't know. And I was in Hebrew class for 3 weeks before I realized my book was upside down. So you can use that, Travis. Anyway, what was that? Oh, the word koinonia means direct fellowship. Now, I'm going to take you a step further because I was talking to you a little bit about being together together. Let me take you one step further when it says they were together in koinonia. Notice here where they were together at. They were together in their homes. What happens when you have somebody in your home? Well, either you fix it up and you spend 2 days trying to clean the place before they get there, or you just open the door and you become who you are. Now, most of us, before we got here, put on our nicer clothes to get here, and some of you took a shower, which I'm grateful for, but, you know, we kind of dolled ourselves up. You ladies put on your face and curled your hair and or whatever you do. I don't know what you do. Anyway, you did your stuff. Guys, we combed our hair and stuff, and we got here. We looked pretty nice. And so today, we're here today, and we're not exactly who we were when we woke up however many hours ago we woke up. You know, maybe you are. I don't know. Isn't it amazing on television how these ladies can wake up with full makeup? How does that happen? And their hair is not made. You know, when I wake up, what hair I have is sticking straight up. Anyway, we kind of fixed ourselves up before we got here so we could be presentable. But when you come to your house, if I were to live with you, you'd say, oh, please, no. I would say the same thing. But if I were to live with you for a little while, we would be able to see one another the way we really are. You see what happened here? This was not just a visit. They were together, but they were together in fellowship. You know what Satan wants you to do? Satan wants you to be fake. God wants you to be real. And he put together the community of faith, the church, so that we could be real with one another. You see, what happens is when the church really comes together, they're together, but they're also together in one fellowship. And when fellowship really happens and there's real koinonia, the masks come off. I'm not talking about this, the mask that some of y'all got. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the mask that we all wear to present ourselves to somebody else so that you think that I'm a certain person. It's my persona, not my person. When you become a part of the community of faith and you live your life through a community of faith, you become real. It becomes as if nothing is fake about your life. Notice here what they were doing. They got together and they ate together. And God's people said, amen. When we think fellowship, what do we think about? I think about fried chicken. That's what I think about. And tater salad and all that. Anyway, we won't go there. But they got together and they had food together. Now notice how they, when they ate together, they ate with glad and sincere hearts. Was their focus on the food? No. You know what bugs the daylights out of me? Let me just share it with you, okay? When we come together for food in a church and somebody says, ew, I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm not going. They're having chili tonight. I'm not going. Well, you know, listen. That's not about the food. It's about the fellowship. Bring your own McDonald's with you and sit down or you think McDonald's. Well, just bring whatever, your Chick-fil-A or whatever it is you want to eat and come and fellowship. That's not about the food. They did not get together because of the food. They got together and they were glad in sincere hearts because they knew sharing a meal and putting your knees under a table becomes who you really are. You're able to look somebody right in the face. You're able to talk with them. And your heart should be sincere. It should be glad. And I'm not talking about Pollyanna glad, you know, how she's glad about it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a joy that comes from knowing the Lord and from knowing somebody else. So they were together with sincerity, not fake, but real. Have you ever heard the expression? Tell me if you heard this expression or not. Putting on the dog. Have you heard that expression? Anybody not heard that yet? I tried this in Latvia, putting on the dog. It just did not translate. They thought I was talking about Putin. No, it was putting on the dog. No, it didn't work. But anyway, you all know what I'm talking about. Well, that stems from back when people would have other people in their homes back in England, and they would have these people in their homes, and they had these little lap dogs. And so the ladies would dress all up and put all the, you know, the poofy stuff on their hair, and they'd have all the big costume kind of dresses and all that. Then they had a little lap dog, and they'd put that lap dog on their lap. And that's called putting on the dog. You learn something when you go to church. Isn't that something? Putting on the dog. What it really means is that you're fake. And you're trying to impress somebody by saying to them, this is who I am, when it's not who you are. You see, with a sincere, glad heart, you come together with other people. See, what we do, though, is we say, oh, no, I don't want to do that because I'm afraid they'll reject me or they won't like me or blah, blah, whatever it may be. That's a lie of the devil. And well, let me just say it this way. They may not like you. So what? You may not like them. I'm going to give you permission not to like some people. All right, go right ahead. Don't if you don't like people, just say, I don't like that person. That's all right. Because there's some people that don't like you. I'm sorry, but they don't. Okay? But let's be sincere. Let's don't be fake. Let's be real. When you're a part of the community of faith, you take a meal, you get together, you're not fake, you're real. You're vulnerable. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I just won't be transparent. You know what transparent means? It means you're putting up a shield that you can see through, but you can't touch. No touching. We've got those around these days, you know, because of the COVID. Don't get in. Got that shield up. You can see right through it, but you can't touch it. When Christ comes in your life, all of that shield goes down, and you become vulnerable with one another. And this group of people, because of the Holy Spirit and what God was doing in their life, and in the life of their church, became so vulnerable with one another that they said, this is who I really am. I'm going to give you a look inside. This is who I really am. And this is how God is working on my heart. What a great thing to have. He also says here that when they came together in one fellowship, they were praising God. You know what that really means? That doesn't mean that they were going around praising, hey, praise God, PTL. No, I'm not. That's not what he's talking. It actually means singing. Did you know that Christianity is the only group that gets together and sings like we sing? And some of you are saying, yeah, I wish they wouldn't sing them songs. You know, them 7-11 songs, 7 words 11 times. I'm just tired of all that. Why don't we sing the good old hymns? Have you sang Blessed Be the Name lately? Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name. It goes on and on forever. It repeats itself. You see, we're all into this thing about, oh, I'll sing, but it's got to be the kind of song that I like to sing. That's not what that's the other deal, is you're trying to focus on the food rather than the source. We all have our ways of doing things. We fought this worship war for 20 years. Are we going to sing those songs? Are we going to sing this song? Are we going to stand up, sit down? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? Are we going to put it on the screen? Are we going to look it in the hymn book? Listen, it's not about that. It's about praising the Lord. And some of you say, oh, no one wants to hear me sing. I won't sing very good. I'm just going to sit back here. There's a guy over at Eastern Heights, that full-blood Cherokee guy. You may know him. I won't tell you his name, but you may know him. I think his Cherokee name is Crosses His Arms. One time, I've told him that many times. Every time I see him, I say, hey, Crosses Your Arms. But anyway, he sits back there. And I said one time, I said, hey, brother, what's going on with this? Nobody wants me to sing. I don't like them songs. That's not what it's about. It's about praising the Lord. If you can't sing, mouth the words. If you want to sit down because you stood up for the half an hour because brother's over here having you stand up, sit down. But praise the Lord. I don't understand why we don't sing and praise God when we come together as a church. It may be because your heart's not right. Hello, uh-oh. What did I just say? I grew up in the church, and I've been a Southern Baptist since I was minus 9 months, and so I've been in church a long time. My church I grew up in Oklahoma City, we had a music guy, and remember back in those days they did the whatever this, is this 4-4 time or what? Anyway, they waved their arm. Yeah, okay. And they got the hymn out and they was going like that. We had a great music minister, he did a great job at that, but every once in a while he'd be gone. And we have somebody that'd fill in for him. And they had two or three guys that'd fill in for him. But our favorite person to fill in for him was Brother Carl. Brother Carl Richardson, he had a son named Carly Richardson. He was a character. I love Brother Carl. Brother Carl would get up. He'd begin to lead the music. And the way we loved him so much. We were kids. I mean, you know, we had to find something to make this not boring. So we get together and Brother Carl, he got to lead the music and he led it like he just caught a fish. He'd do like this. I thought we go, hey, got a big one today. You know, we thought that was the greatest thing in the world. But here's this, listen, we still sang. We were distracted, but we still sang. Listen, it's time for us to put down all of the stuff that you've got and praise God. Come to the worship service and praise the Lord. Help this brother out. Do what you need to. This group up here and this group up here, you all need to. Everybody needs to be in it, and you need to do what you're doing and show up and say, hey, this is what I'm here for. I'm not here to sing this song. I'm here to praise God. I'm here to praise Him. So they were praising the Lord and they were gaining favor, enjoying the favor of all the people. They were gaining favor with all the people. That doesn't mean all the people in the church. That means all the people. You ever wonder if somebody would ever say, I wonder what's going on. What's wrong with those people up there at Bartlesville Southern? Now, that can be positive and that can be negative. What's wrong with them people? You know, when you really are who you are, and you're out in the world, we're meeting here for a little while and then we're going to go outside, right? We're going to go outside these four walls, all right? You with me? Okay. I wonder what's going on. With those people, what is the deal? That guy goes to Bartlesville Southern. What's going on up there? What's going on? What's happening up there? Now you can influence that at just about any place. The restaurant you go to this afternoon when you go to eat, you can influence them there. Did you know that most waiters and helpers and servers hate Sunday night? Because that used to be when we had Sunday night church and people would go to restaurant on Sunday night after church. You know why? Because us Christians are the worst tippers in the world. We'll get a $25, $35 ticket and we'll put down about $2 in a gospel tract. Yeah, that's going to influence somebody. Let me just tell you, I'll just tell you up front. I can say all this stuff because I'm not your pastor. So anyway, next time you go to a restaurant, tip at least 20%. As a Christian, just do that. And just say, I'm doing my Christian duty and I'm going to give them this. Okay, but anyway, you see, it's about gaining favor. It's about behaving yourselves. Not throw food all over the place. You know, don't do that kind of thing. Be the people God wants you. How about at the drive-thru? The other day we were over here at Freddy's getting a burger and some fries. I like Freddy's. Y'all like Freddy's? Good. We were in the drive-thru and we pulled up there, and I got ready to pay. She said, oh, the lady in front of you paid for your lunch. I said, well, praise the Lord. Thank you. And took off. I thought, that was dumb. My wife said, we should have paid for the people behind us. Just kept it going. And I said, well, maybe next time. So, anyway, how about at the drive-thru? How about, here we go. How about Walmart? You been to Walmart lately? Some of you haven't been in there because of the COVID, I know, but have you been in there lately? I mean, it's crazy. You know what I mean? It's nuts. You go in there, people got their pajamas on. You go in there, people got something else on. You don't think, wow, these people, where'd these people come from? You know? What happened? What side of Osage County? No, I'm going to say, oh, wait. Where did they come from? Where are these people? You go through, walk through there, maybe you got your mask on, maybe you don't, but you walk through there like you're put out because the wife made you go through this list and you can't find anything. Or, guess what I did the other day? Experiment. Had my mask on. But every place I went, I was smiling. Everybody looked at me kind of like I was some kind of an idiot. Where in the world, where'd this guy come from? I mean, what? And they couldn't tell I was smiling. Only could tell I was smiling. You know, you smile with your eyes. They knew I was smiling. I came out of there and one lady said, be careful going home. You see, you make those connections. Beloved, it's not about what you do in here that makes a difference. It's what goes on out there. It says here that these people out there, they experienced Pentecost and 3,000 newbies came into the congregation in the fellowship and they were trying to assimilate them by taking them through a new members class. No, it doesn't say that. What it says is they became and had good favor with all the people. What's going on to those people up there? Bartlesville Southern Baptist Church. Maybe, just maybe, they'd like to be a part of that. So, they were together in one place, and they were together in one fellowship. And then lastly, please listen as I finish today. They were together with one Lord. The last part there says, in the last part of verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Notice there it didn't say that the apostles added to their number daily. It didn't say that the pastor or the preacher or the program or the building or anything else like that. What it said was the Lord. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. I want to tell you something. There's nothing more exciting to be in a church where people are getting saved. Amen. Some of you have been in that kind of a situation where every Sunday somebody's coming and getting saved. Somebody's during the week has come and talked to the pastor or has talked to a friend or a neighbor or a loved one. Said, you know, during the week I gave my life to Jesus and I want to come and I want to share with you what I'm going to do and I want to be baptized and I want to be a part of a church or I want to do this or I want to do that. And I want to show you. I'm excited because of what happened in my life. You know, I don't understand people who are so intimidated by that that they don't want to show other people. Now, I'm not saying that's a method of coming to the front and the building and all that. There's a lot of times in churches I've been in, they'll be through the invitation and they'll look out in the congregation and they'll say, hey, John, you and your family, come on up here. Guess what? John and his family gave his life to the Lord. This week he came by my office. Pastor says he came by my office. We talked about it and they're going to get baptized next week. It's not about a method. It's about the response. The Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. They were together under one Lord. You know the number one reason for conflict in the churches today, Baptist churches? We did a survey a few years ago when I was in South Carolina. I was doing pastoral ministries there. And one of my jobs was to help with conflict in the church. You said, well, we don't have no conflict. Yeah, you do. Okay. You got it. And the only churches that don't have any conflict are dead. Okay? Because that's the only people in the world that don't have conflict. They're already gone to heaven. Okay? If you go out to the people across the street over here, they don't have any conflict. They're gone. Okay? So you have to know that's just part of being a church. But the number one reason for destructive conflict in a church? Who's going to be in charge? Are the deacons going to be in charge? Or is the preacher going to be in charge? Or is the staff going to be in charge? Or is the mama Sunday school class going to be in charge? Or is this person going to be in charge? Or is brother so-and-so going to be in charge? Or is sister so-and-so going to be in charge? Who's going to be in charge? One year in South Carolina, we led the nation in terminated pastors. We led them. That's not something I wanted to brag about. But it is true. And the number one reason was, who's going to be in charge? There was a couple that had immoral failure and those kinds of things that had happened. There's a few, but far and away, I'm talking like 88% who's going to be in charge. Folks, when you're together with the Lord and you're together in a church and you're vulnerable and you're the people of God and you're not letting Satan pick you off one by one because you've scattered, there is only one Lord. There is only one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is in charge. Guess what? Whether you think it or not, He's in charge of Bartlesville Southern Baptist Church. The question is, are we going to allow Him to be in charge? Are you going to be a part of a power group that decides, we're going to be in charge and we're going to start steering this thing in a certain way? Every pastor I know, I've told them, stay out of God's way. Don't you dare get in God's way. You'll get mowed down. And they have when they get in God's way. So this comes with a warning. You want to see people come to the fellowship of God and be saved? It's because the Lord is doing it. It's not because your pastor is doing it. It's not because the deacons are doing it. It's not because the elders are doing it. It's not because the Sunday school class is doing it. It's not because Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so is doing it. It's because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And He's in charge. Now let me ask you today. Is He in charge of your life? Are you together in your own life with one Lord? You feel Satan nipping at your heels because you've separated yourself from the body of Christ and you're not vulnerable enough and you're not entering into those things. Have you found yourself over on the corner with your opinion and fighting everybody because your opinion is the only one that's right and you don't want to talk to anybody else? You know the devil has put you over there for a reason. He's going to devour you. Don't think that you won't do that because he will. Today needs to be the day, I believe in all my heart, it needs to be the day that you come as a follower of Christ and as a member of this church and as a member of the community of faith and say, I'm tired of that and I'm ready to be a part of a community that loves God, that is vulnerable with one another, that trusts one another to the point that I can be together, together. Now, folks, I'm so glad you're here today. It's not about showing up at church on Sunday after Sunday. It's about being involved in the family of God. Would you be willing... Would you be willing to say, as a person who's never trusted Jesus, would you be willing right there in the pew where you're sitting today to bow your head and close your eyes and say to God, God, I realize that Jesus Christ died for my sin. I'm a sinner, but I need Him. Would you be willing to trust in Him and just deposit all your life into Him? I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm talking about being a part of the God's forever kingdom. Would you be willing just to say to God, God, open my life. Forgive me of my sin. I turn away from it. I repent. I go another way. Would you be willing to confess your sin to God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you would, you can be saved today. You can give your life to Jesus today. If you're here today and you're a follower of Christ, you've been baptized, you've been a follower of Christ longer than I've been alive, which is a long time. And you would say, oh, I'm not living like I should. I'm not a part of God's family. I'm griping and complaining about what kind of food we're going to eat instead of being in fellowship with the believers. Would you today just repent of that? Would you right there where you're sitting say, God, I don't want that no more, and I'm tired of that, and I'm going to give my life back to you. I'm going to renew my faith in you, and I'm going to turn away from all that, and I'm going to renew my faith in a way that I know that I'm a part of the family of God. You can do that today. You can also come and join the church. Brother Daniel's going to be here in the front in just a moment. I'll be up here. We'll get you to a counselor to figure out how to do that. You want to come and join the church? You've been baptized in a in a believing church that's been baptized by immersion, however it is, you want to come, come and be part of this. If you want to transfer your letter from another church, you want to come, come and be part of this believers, these believers here. God's got great things ahead for this church, whatever the case may be. If you'll come in just a moment, we're going to ask you to do something different. I'm going to ask you, and we're going to bow our heads in just a moment, I'm going to ask you about these decisions that you need to make. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and then I'm going to ask you in a little while, if you'd be willing to come here to the front and use these steps or these pews as an altar to the Lord, and asking God to be new in your life and to renew your heart. If you would do that, in just a few moments, we're going to sing a song, and then you can come and respond to God. Would you be willing to do that? Let me pray with you. We ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed right now. A real serious time, okay? Listen, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you can pray that prayer I just talked about a minute ago. You can give your life to Jesus right there where you're sitting. Just go ahead and do that. Just pray that prayer, ask Him into your heart. Most important time in your life, and you'd come and you'd say, hey, Lord, I just need You in my life. I want to follow after You. You're a church member here today, but God has spoken to your heart about, hey, it's time for me to give up some of this stuff that I'm dealing with here, and it's time for me to get back on the program and get with the Lord again. You just do that right now. Would you just do it? Go ahead right now. Just pray. Ask God just to forgive you of your sin, forgive your shortcomings. You want to be part of a fellowship. You're here today and you want to join the church. Wow. I'm sure this church would love to have you as a part of this forever family. You can put your spiritual address right here at Bartlesville Southern Baptist Church. Would you be willing? Could you do that? Just go ahead and make that decision to do that today. And then I'll be here at the front. Brother Daniel, some others will be here at the front. You want to come and say, yes, I'm ready. I want to do what God wants me to do. Put my spiritual address here at this church. As God has spoken to your heart, I'm going to open up these steps now and these pews to be an altar unto the Lord. Who'll be first to say yes to Christ? Who'll be first? If you made a decision for Christ today, would you just, our heads are bowed and our eyes, if nobody's looking around, could you just look up at me that you've made the decision for Christ? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Many, many all over the room have done that. Friend, you don't have to come forward. If you want to, you can. So the altar's open to you. You come. As God is speaking to you. Father God, thank You that You have spoken to our hearts through Your Word. Thank You for that group of believers back there in Jerusalem who were doing such a great job of being together. And so they had problems, but still, they weren't perfect, but still You were with them. And Lord, we long to have that kind of a fellowship and a group and a community of faith that lives like that. Not perfect, different opinions, but still, we're under one Lord, and His name is Jesus Christ. Dear Jesus, thank You for Your sacrifice. Now we pray that we will respond to Your invitation as You give the ability to do that. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now let's stand together. We're going to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. God has spoken to your heart. You come. Come right now. Brother Daniel's here.